To sing that, cry with me and dance with me, Lord, that's good. But that's it, the nature of our faith. We can turn to God and confidently, in a close way, reverently said to God, yes, this is my life. I would like to have you share my life with you. we're looking in the the book of Romans, chapter 15, verse 7 to verse 13. We would like to take a time to meditate on this word for us this morning. And you know that Roman is a great book. Martin Luther said that if we lose every book in the Bible, but we still have Roman left to us, we still can find the believe in the gospel. Because in Roman, Paul write everything deal with the essential teaching of the gospel. And you know that if you work through the book of Romans, it's really tough, difficult, very difficult. Paul pour his life out, thinking everything. God bring this man who had deep learning in Hebrew, had been training in Judaism, back to him when he became he rejected Jesus Christ, but when he come submitted to Jesus Christ, he began a process of rethinking and see the gospel, and with his mind, with his heart, with his life, amazing man, pour in, captured the heart of the gospel, and on every word of Roman, you know, it's so difficult because there the gospel was explained to us from the beginning. Every step of it, from the situation of being lost again, we are against God, rebellious against God, and being lost. And also, he worked through all the teaching of the Old Testament into how Jesus came and saved us, and also how the gospel worked in our life, and also, you know, through all this and hard chapter. And then you can capture and to understand the marvelous message of the gospel. The gospel can be a very simple message about God love us, but also it's so deep that great mind like Paul and other people wrestle and never understand it enough. So today we deal with a small passage here, which is the second part, application part. And Paul talk about how that great teaching of the gospel is applied to our practical life. And I would like to consider the word life of hope. I put it this way, just one aspect of this passage. When I say life of hope, it's a path to our life with leading to hope. That's what I mean. Because in this passage, we teach us the way, the shaping our life in such a way that hope will be possible in our lives. And we start a Vietnamese New Year's, and then, you know, we think about hope for us, and we plan, we think of future. But it's good to ground our life and, you know, our thinking into Scripture. And you see that when the Scripture deals with hope, it's just not a word. But hope is something that connected with the whole message, the gospel. And here, we will take time to go through and see, understand how we handle, Scripture handle this matter of hope, subject of hope, so we can learn from it to deal with our lives. So now, let us read through the passage. And can I read one verse and you read one verse responsively so we can get the message together? Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. You can do better than that. You had the text, you had the voice, you had the strong voice. Why don't you do it again? I really want you to be awake with me, because I don't want you to sleep here. Now let me start again, okay? Let us read the Scripture again, okay? Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. So that the Gentiles may glorify God for His mercy as written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles, I will sing hymns to your name. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing praises to Him, all you peoples. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with the hope of the by the power of the Holy Spirit. That is a marvelous word there. But you see that I look at there are three small phrases for us to think about. The first one is Christ accepted us. The second one is Christ leads the way for us. He shows us the way. And the third one is God fill us with hope. That's the three ways, three small phrases we can think together through this passage. You see that you look at that the way the passage is. The first one is Christ accepted us. Is the verb is in the past tense. Something already happened, occurrence, happening in the past. Christ accepted us. It in the past. It is the fact, the event that established your life and my life. Christ accepted us. And then that is in verse 7. From verse 8 to verse 12, that sixth verse there, we'll talk about Christ, what Christ did. It's also in the past. What Christ did and how He became a servant serving the Jewish people. And that's the way I can see it. It's not merely an event happened to us, but also a continuous process that Christ worked out to show the way, to establish the way for us to move forward from that initial experience. And then lastly, you can see that God, may God the hope fill in you in dealing with the future, the present and the future. So the verse there is subjunctive, dealing with the future and the present. You know, what we have not had yet. And Paul prayed that based on what happened in verse 7 and the process in verse 8 to verse 12, that process will help us to stand the point that the verse 13 will become reality for us in the present, in the future. So verse 13, a prayer dealing with the present and the future, what we don't have yet. And that prayer will be fulfilled only if we go back to the basis, the foundation is in verse 7. And also the process being working out by Christ in 6th verse from verse 8 to verse 12. So let us go through this one and see that is the way the passage, the text is constructed. And so let us meditate a bit more. In verse 7, Paul dealing with the people in church Rome. There's a lot of problem there. They are in the capital of the whole empire. Powerful empire. They subdue all the nation. And the biggest empire they have, bigger than the Persian empire, bigger than the Greek empire, and also Assyrian empire. And the Roman is gifted in logical mind. They have marvelous law. They are the mind who are practical, dealing with practical. They build building. They are strong in building roads and system and all that sort of thing. If you go back there, you can see the Roman road still, after 2,000 years, still there, still operable. Everything lead back to Rome. Rome ruled the whole nation. And also, even us now, our law is based on Roman law. So all these things, it come from Romans, very confident people, from a tribe, become a nation, rule all big empire. So the people who come to know Jesus Christ in that empire is minority. They come from a people very low standing. Most of them are slaves. Only 4 out of 5 people in Roman Empire are slaves. Only one fifth are free people. So the slave people are people who are poor, sell themselves and become slaves. They are in fighting. They are captured. They are great people, but captured, they become slaves. All that sort of thing. So here, the Christian bring people together in one community. Free people and slave people. Outside, there's a discrimination. But inside, in Christ, we are equal. But yet, in a practical way, there's a lot of issue erupt in that community. And Paul used the teaching of the gospel now applied to the practical thing, how we live together each day. And now he comes to this 7. He said a simple thing that accept one another, then just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. Now he's dealing with a group of people in the church. It had the problem outside come in, not accepting other people in the church. I'm a free man. I have education. I have better background than you, and you come from a humble background, and that's why you are ignorant. You don't know how to read and write, that sort of thing. And people treat each other according to the standard and the custom of the empire. So Paul would say that now there's reversal here when the gospel comes to us. And when you walk into Jesus Christ, you have that profound change in your life and my life. What count on the social level is not counted anymore. We have to deal with that in a drastic way. So he tells the Christian in Rome, when you meet together, not merely just sit there together, but there's a deeper fellowship. There must be a deeper reality binding you with other people, even they are lower than you socially. So Paul will use the word accepted, accepting. Accepting is a word used very receiving. That means receiving. Receiving is talk about physically. Somebody gave me something, I receive, I take it into my possession. But then when you deal with people, and then yesterday I go to Jimmy's wedding, and then you know in the wedding they promise. You promise to receive Karen as your wife. You see that the word just slipped through. We take it as just a matter of formal thing, but really deep there, Jimmy, this is a lady. Karen is a completely new a person. It's not that's something similar to you, but a lot of things different from you. But now, would you receive her as your wife? And then as your wife, then you said, "Oh, it depends on how you define the wife." If you define wife Vietnam, that means all the power in the man, and the wife is submitted totally to man. That's nice. I would do that. I would receive you as my wife in Vietnamese system, or in Chinese system. If you read Chinese system, that the woman is totally subjected for 1,000 years, and Vietnamese got into that thing too. We look down on women. If you are you have children, only the boys count, the girl not count. This means that if all people have boys, then where do you have a girl for wife? But we don't think about that. Only boys have value. That sort of thing. So if I would accept you as my wife, according to the definition of Chinese and Vietnamese or Japanese or Korean definition. How about that? So I would say, Mục sư Thủy asked, I would yes. But my yes means with a condition that she had to submit to me totally. That's nice. I make sure that everything had to work out my way. But if you do that in this country, you know, you have to accept in, I'm American, I'm willing to accept you as my wife on American definition, mean what? Both are equal. That means if we cannot work out, it means that there's a point that I cannot accept you as my wife and you can accept me as husband, then there's provision, divorce. So 50% divorce American American family now is meaning that somewhere along the line, the couple cannot accept each other. So Paul would say at this point that we'll accept to receive there has deep meaning there. When I accept a gift, if it's a gift, something I can consume, a piece of chocolate, I can put it in my mouth and eat it. But if you give me something more expensive, a computer, I can eat it, but then I can spend a lot of time to learn to work on computer, and then I have to work. That's a different gift. But now a gift as a person come to my life, then it's more complicated. To receive a person into my life is so difficult, so complicated. And some people can never work it out on this issue. Somewhere along you think that it can be done easily, but soon later, a long while, you cry over it. You regret it. Why on earth that I make a decision to bring this person into my life? I was so stupid at that time. I didn't see different. I fall in love, but that infatuation is not love. Real love, living together 24-hour day, is so taxing. And also, you set up in a family, you know, not merely husband and wife, and then kids and everything come out. Relationship between, when they told me I never had that. When your wife you have a first child, and your wife pour every attention on the first child, and the husband resent it. Because before that, the husband is the object of attention of his wife. But now the baby come in and become a competitor, and then the attention of his wife pour on the baby, and the man was left out in the cold and resented. I don't have kids, so I don't really know. So some of you know, but I don't know. But that's what they tell me. So again, you know, you resent it because, you know, you are pushed out and somebody else come into the picture and send a picture. So you see that crowd, Paul said now, to dealing with that, he go back to scripture. And the word that Christ accepted us. Now, pay attention. The summary of the gospel. This already happened. All the chapter before that just tell one message. Christ accepted us. Glorious fact that I, myself, you, yourself, all of us together rebel against God. And now, how is that God can jump over this gulf of enmity, hostility, rebellion, everything thinkable to come over to this side of the gulf? And accept me. And not me. Accept us. In this company, we call us, we are fighting with each other and we're killing each other to death. But yet Christ come over this gulf of enmity and come into that mess, that hostility, and said, I accept all of you. Bring peace into this company, us here. And then bring something the news of peace from God. Stop the fighting. You are received by God through me. How you do it? Look at the cross. It is on the cross that I bear everything you can imagine about hostility and rebellion. You have to understand how I do it in myself in order to pay the cost, because once every time you disagree, once every time you reject people, denounce people, depreciate people, all those things put on me. There's consequence. Because there is no action without consequence. Consequence on yourself, consequence on other people. It go on. They become a total kind of close-knit, very tightly woven network of rejection and enmity. And Christ had to come in and take every consequence of that enmity on himself in order to solve the problem, to bring us back to the peace with God and to peace with each other. So brothers and sisters, this morning when we hear that word, you and I had to capture the heart of the gospel. Christ accepted us. When? In the past. Where? On the cross. It is you and I come to know Jesus Christ and this gospel. And Paul clearly put it, Christ accepted us for the glory of God. The word in Greek there, toward the glory of God. So here, in Christ accepted, manifest the love of God to you and me as community. It is in that love, that acceptance, that we, the community, take shape and become created. Without that acceptance, what received by Christ, there is no community. The community, the bonding is only possible only on the death of Jesus Christ. So he said now, you look at that, this is the manifestation of glorious love. Because the glory was involved in this love, involved in this work when he comes into you and me. So he accepted us. Do you know where you were? Do you realize how to live under the alienation and all the pain of rejection? A few years ago, my wife and me, we were in Chicago. There's a girl from Vietnam come over and live in a house, and then she become a Christian and in the church. My wife take care of her. We take her into our home, eating and all that sort of thing, and she come very close to my wife and me. And then she share a lot. She lived with her grandmother. And then one day she cried, and my wife asked her what happened. Listened to her and said, "Cô Hương, I have one wish in my life. That somewhere in the future I hope to see my mother. Because she was given, when she was born, she was given to this lady, old lady, and this old lady raised her up as a child, and then she come over this country." I said, "I would like to somewhere in the future met my mother who bore me. And I met to know who she is. And one thing I will ask my mother is, Mother, why did you give me up? Why didn't you raise me up? Why did you give me away?" And that girl just cried. And my wife just sit there and for a long time. And we just sit there and know that it is deep pain in her life. And we don't know how to handle that. And then we try to, you know, step by step, just show practical love for her and in the church, the gospel come to her life and then take shape in her life and bring hope to her. And then, you know, we know this, being rejected by your own mother. It's a deep wound. Yes, I'm here. I have future. She go on to finish her college and she get married and everything. Now have the love and her kids in her family. But now, deep inside is the pain of being rejected. Rejected by mother.
Mother, why do you give me away? Why do you take care of me? Yes, there's another woman come into my life, care me as mother. But who you are? Under what circumstances that you cannot take care of me? You bear me nine months and give birth to me. And why do you have to leave me? What pain? I know the pain in your heart as a mother, but I also take this pain in myself, being rejected. Yes, a lot of people receive me, and I know Christ receives me, but that rejection cut deep into my life. Now, brothers and sisters, do you know that? Do you read that? The condition of being rejected? If you and I don't understand the condition of being rejected, then we don't see the good news. Because in that rejection that Christ comes to us and take us in and love us and pour out of us and heal the wound of rejection and bring us back. Why we sit in the church and many of us grow up and give away the faith and walk away because you don't know what it means to live under rejection. You don't know the pain of the wound. Until I see that, until I know that in my body, in my being, in every cell of my body, then understand the gospel. Jesus Christ, come to me when I was totally rejected, because I totally reject God and I'm totally cut off myself from God, and what a mess I'm in. And I can assure you, this wound will work deep in your life, in my life. Some of us thinking, oh, I will go up and pursue my life and have degree and then make marriage and make money and everything. Yesterday, 2 days ago, on a radio program, there's one young man talking, a Catholic priest. He said, I'm a study and I have more money, and as I have more money, I can make more friends. Because I don't have money, so my friend is a lower class, but I have more money than I make crime with low, higher class. So I can have a lot of room to choose different kind of friend, and ultimately I can marry a girl with high class, that sort of thing. And the Catholic priest had a hard time to explain to him, hey, come on, that's all dream. To be accepted. And if you and I know this one happened to you already, Christ accept you and me. And if you and I can capture this one, and you and I can see the goodness of the gospel, and you can see the joy of salvation come to you and me. If you don't see this one, you see, oh, this one, a theory, and nothing to do with your life, and you walk away. So Paul said, listen, it's a glorious love that Christ accepts us together. There's no way, there's no condition. There's nothing to suggest that we can be accepted, but just Christ accept. He walked over that gulf and come to us and bring us. Now, the issue, he accept a rebel. He bring it into his life, and he pour his life out, and he bring not just me accept, he bring him, us into his life, deep into his life. Whatever he had inside were and for us. There's nothing secret in him that he won't share. He said, I don't call you servant anymore, I call you friend, because what I heard from Father, I share to you. The secret heaven is open up and bring us in, share us in. The secret of who you are, the secret of your life, the secret of your marriage, your secret of your love, the secret of everything concerning you in the past, in the present, and the future. Connected with God, being shared with you. Said to you that this is where you should live. So brother, that is a big event in our life. It happened to you, it's a great joy. That sometimes I just, that day, I read scripture, I just cry. Because I remember my father and my mother came to Christ, know Christ half of their life. My older brother and sister was born before they know Christ. I was born when my parents know Christ. And as I go from Da Nang back to my village,
It's a 30 kilometer, and so another 60 kilometer. It's mean about 100 kilometers there. Along the cross, the cross there, I look at that only. I don't know how many thousand people live along that coastal area, about 5 miles on this side and 100 kilometers on this side. And only my family know Jesus Christ. I just don't know what to say. Why is that God come to my family and save my parents and then save me? I just cry. God, accept us. And you should know that.
Great.
That God loved me with his glorious love. So he said, now if Christ accepts us, then you have to learn to accept other people. That's the model. That's the pattern. But not merely a model or pattern, but that is the force. That is the foundation. That is the source of power for you to accept people. You would be powerless to accept people unless you come back to this source of power that Christ accepts you. Christ accepts you not merely an event to you, but it becomes a power working in you. Overcome everything you throw up in order to bring you into your other people. Open your life completely so people can come into your life. I can imagine Jimmy yesterday and Karen yesterday when they finished there, and then later on, now they have to open their life to each other and live together. The same thing here, that Christ accept me will open my heart out so other people, for my wife, my kids, people in the church of man. I don't know how it works, but it works. We come here, different kind of people here, we sit and we worship and we go home, but remember this one. We are here because Christ accepts all of us. And because we stand on that truth and that experience, and you and I become kind of a new Christ, a little Christ who accepts people too. That is the story of the church. Glorious love. For what? For the glory of God. Rejection is the shutdown of the glory of God. But accepting, receiving is manifesting of the love of God. Make the glory of God become more radiant. So now, that is the basis of our life. It happened to each one of us. I pray that some of you young here, listen to you, you are forced to sit here with us. And some of you are bored to tears. But I hope that somewhere along the line, this year, you will come to understand this one. This experience will happen to you. And you come to know Jesus Christ. He receives you deeply into his life and start you on this life of receiving. Because in future, you see that the rejection of this world will be the main thing you and I had to live with. Secondly, Christ led the way. And then in the next 6th verse, Paul will say about several things. He said, after Christ accepted us, become a servant of the Jewish people. He said, Christ become the servant to serve the Jewish people. For three things. First, to bring on the behalf of God's truth. The truth of God. The reason that Christ becomes the servant of the Jewish people, because he wants to, according to the truth of God, he wants to manifest in his serving, manifest the truth of God. And then secondly, when he's serving the Jewish people in order to bring out the truth of God, and then that will serve the purpose of what? The purpose is to confirm to the Jewish people the promise of God to the father, the ancestor of Jewish people. First, to show the people, Jewish people, the truth of God. Secondly, to confirm the promise of God to the Father, it will be the promise for them too. And thirdly, to show the people outside of the Jewish people that God is merciful. See that? So he said, Christ will quietly pour his life out, serving as servant among the Jewish people. Why? To show the truth of God. Secondly, to confirm the promise of God to his people. And thirdly, to help the people outside Jewish people to see the mercy of God. Now, pay attention to truth of God, the promise of God, and the mercy of God. These are the three things behind the word receiving, God receiving us. Without these three things, there's no reception, there's no receiving. God receives us because Jesus Christ receives us because the truth of God about who He is, about His nature. There's something true here. So not something false. We have to build our life on the truth of God. Because the truth of God, God is true. Therefore, there is accepting and there is receiving. Secondly, because in the truth of God, give us promise. What is the promise? Promise is dealing with the future. I don't know the future, but promise will help me to figure out the future. Like in Rose Parade, in Pasadena, if you were there, you know, most of you short, and all the people, they're camping a whole night there, and they stand in front of you, and you're short, you stand behind, you know, you can't see anything. So you try to scramble to find somewhere, you climb and climb up somewhere higher, and you climb up and you stand to above people, you can look into the parade. The same thing with the future. You are short, you can't see the future. You have to have something raise you up, you stand high, you know, you can look in the future. What is the promises? The promises are the platform raised up so we can look in the future. People without promise are dead people. You working in your school because you have the future, you think the future with the promise of education. You love somebody because you the promise of love and marriage. You work hard. You pay $100 last week in order to buy 12 roses for your loved one. You sacrifice $100 for 12 roses. Because why? Because the promise of love, she will love you. That's why you sacrifice. So the promise for the Father is the platform that God gave from the way of God to look in the future. Without this one, you don't see the future. So Christ serving the people in order to confirm, yeah, what God gave, the promise God gave to you, the ancestor will be available to you, and God will faithful, God will carry out what God carried out for Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, and other people will be carried out in your life. You will be protected. You will be the center of God's will and God. And then the thirdly, that two things God doing for the Jewish people. And the third thing is when you're going to do that, and the people outside community are the Jewish people. Oh, look at that. Wow. The Jewish people is not worth to spend a dime. But now look at God, the way God deal with them. Marvelous. So they see the mercy of God reaching out to them. So the third point, it is, why has God come to us? It is God's mercy in His heart that move Him out to come to each one of us. So three things: the truth of God, the promise of God, and the mercy of God. Those three things so essential to make you and me build the road for us to come to live a kind of receiving people. Without the truth of God, you and I cannot be a receiving person. Without the promise of God, you and I would not never be able to be a receiving people. Without the mercy of God, understand the mercy of God for yourself and understand how it works, you and I will not be a merciful, a receiving people. You will get married, you have kids, but you will never become a person really receive your spouse, receive your kids, If you don't know the truth of God, if you don't know the promise of God, you know the mercy of God. So how does it work? It works every day. So Christ works serving, if you take your energy to do something, produce something, and the benefit go to other people. Christ serving the Jewish people in order to establish the truth of God, the promise of God, and the mercy of God. Now, that is a long process. If you and I want to become a kind of person, receive people, not rejecting people, move now on rejection into acceptance, then you and I have to learn the truth of God, the promise of God, and the mercy of God. Experience personally, deeply, every day. And then the scripture quotes about quotes five times the scripture and says on it, "It has been written, therefore I shall confess you among the nation, and I shall sing praise to your name." And again he say, "Nation, be glad all with his people." And again, "All nation, praise the Lord. All people, praise him." And again, Isaiah say, "There shall be a root of Jesse, one rising up to rule the nation. In him the nation will hold." Now, you look at the string of word there. Talking about bringing out the people outside our community, inside the community, that is including, that is receiving. And you hear, confessing, singing praise, being glad, praising, and then hope. You see the string? All these pearls put together, as Christ do it, it results in confess, in singing praise, in being glad, in praise, and finally, in hope. When you and I come to know the truth of God, when you and I come to live our life on the promise of God, when you and I come to experience the mercy of God, then this thing will happen. Confessing, praising, sing praising, be glad, and then praising, and finally hope. These strings, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, work there will not happen if you don't have the other three: the truth of God, the promise of God, and the mercy of God. The truth of God, the promise of God, and the mercy of God will produce confessing, praising, being glad, praising, and hope. Now you see that the two go together. This string is the result of the process of learning God's truth, of grasping the promise of God, and understand it's been the mercy of God for us. That's a long process that you and I, Christ lead the way, and you and I have to follow the way. And finally, let me come to the last one. The God, may the God of hope will fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The first two steps, Christ accepted us, and also Christ lit the way for us through that. Now, it comes to a point, if you and I follow that one, being accepted by Christ, and go through that road, and then you and I come to position now, the next verse will be open to you and me. The people who go travel that road now, the word will come, may the God of hope, now dealing, you have been accepted God, going through the world, now you're here. Now, at this point, you stand here in the present, look in the future. May the God of hope, hope dealing with two things. Future, that's the thing you don't see. The future you don't see. The future not happened yet. And then the thing you don't see, hope. And then surely, the God of hope, God exists outside of time. He's not in the present or in the past. So when you and I in the time talk about, I'm here, I'm talking, I have the past, I have the present, I'm standing in the present, I look in the future, we are a creature of time. God is not in time. But here God of hope, that means God even outside time, but he knows the operation of the past, the present, the future in our life. And he identifies himself with us. He understands how we go through this process, past, present, future. And then he opened himself into that temporal process. It seems that he immersed himself into the past, the present, and the future with us. He let us leave us to think about the future by ourselves. But he stand ourselves, hey, he understand the past, he understand the present, and the future. And said, let me think with you about your past, about your present, and let me think with you about your future. And with by yourself, you think of future, you will be oppressed by what happened in the past, what you failed, and everything you did in the past. You cannot shake it. You cannot shut it off. But now, let me stand with you here. Take the past, all your failure, and everything you pain in your past, bring here with me. In the present here, I will heal you. And then let me think with you about your future. I know you're 16. I know you're 20. I know you are pursuing a career. Let me think of you. You don't have a girlfriend yet. You don't have a boyfriend yet. Let me think with you. And when you look at that, you look at yourself. Oh, this one. Oh, I don't know anyone will love me. I suffer so much rejection, I don't know where to go. I fail in my study and everything. Hey, let me stand with you. With all my resource, with the truth, with the promise and the mercy, I stand with you. Let me think with you through about this issue of love. You want a good wife? You want a good husband? That's good, because it comes from me. Love comes from me. So let me think. I'm full of hope. I will work with you through the process of time. I just don't stand outside, but I will in your everyday, in your daydreaming, everything, in your planning, everything, and your working. I work with you here. May the God of hope fill you when you are totally empty, your tank is totally empty. Fill you. Fill your heart. Fill you with all the joy and gladness, the joy and peace. Now, before God can do anything with you about hope, God has filled you right now with joy and peace. How? As you believe Him. As you trust Him. You grab His truth, His promise, and His mercy, and then if you live with that, and then as you live with that, He will fill you with all joy. Listen, all joy. All peace. Oh, I know that kind of joy and peace outside of faith. That's not talking here. I said about inside of faith, and you trust Him, His truth, and His promise, and His mercy, and you experience it. All the joy. All the peace. Can you live with the truth of God, and the mercy of God, and the promise without joy, without peace? It must be contradiction in turn. If really I live with that, then my life has to be filled with joy. I trust Him, then I'll be filled with joy and peace. Now the first step is not hoping, because if you sit there and try to hope, you will have only desire and wishing and nothing more. You don't know anything about future. You have no way to figure out future. And you have no way to do anything, materialize, actualize the future. Future is outside of your control. Future is not under your manipulation. Future belongs to God. So, here, in partnership with God, now, the first thing to do with future is being filled by love and peace. When you are not peaceful, when you're disturbed, when you are in, you know, run up and down, you cannot have hope. When you are depressed, you cannot have hope. The basis of hope is a life of peace. You look at all the threat of our future. You look at all the depressing thing of the future, the chaotic thing, but you will be joyful. How? It is a miracle of faith. It is something God gives to you and me, not because we can manufacture it. Do you hear me? You try to manufacture hope for your future, for your career and everything, for your marriage and everything, right? I can say humbly to you that you All you're doing is just wishing, desire, not hope. Hope is based on what Jesus Christ did accept us, and hope is on the way Christ serving in order to show us God's truth, God's promise, and God's mercy. Because if God mercy, He will not throw me away. He pledged with me that He will never forsake me. There's no understanding. Whatever I do, He will not become what you do, I will throw you away. No, He will not do that. Therefore, here, as the first thing is God fill you with that. God didn't fill you. When God fill you with full of joy and hope and peace, then what? Then, so that you may overflow with hope by the power. Only on that basis, the hope of God will overflow you. You see the scripture? Without peace and without joy, you won't have hope. The peace and joy come from God. And as you stand on the peace of joy daily, and then you will have full of hope. How? By the work of the Holy Spirit. Marvelous. So now you see the simple. Hope is born out of what God working in your life, my life. Already He accepts us. And hope is laid down by the foundation, the way, the process of Christ serving to show us God's truth and God's promise and God's mercy, the heart of God. And also, when God now stand with us in the present, look in the future, God said, let me share my life with you, your life. And God said, hey, I will fill you. You look at the future. Tell me everything you can go up on internet, surfing on internet. Give me all the depressing facts, and then I can tell you, I stand with you. I give you all the peace, all the joy. What? All the peace and joy. In order to make you and I, people, a hope. Because we stand on firm foundation. Hope born out of the life, knowing God. So what can I say for you and me, facing with all these things? 2 days ago, on Tuesday, and on Thursday, it's the day of my wife died, 17 years ago. 17 years of pain, 17 years of tears, 17 years of loneliness, 17 years of struggle, with no family, nothing at all. But God brought me out of that. In my pain, in my forsakenness, in my loneliness, I learned the truth of God, the mercy of God, and the promise of God. And become a kind of hope. You ask, Mukshitat, you are 70 years old, and 73 years old, you know, you have a few more weeks to live. What hope you have? I still have hope. If you give me, I have one more day to live. I will tell you, I still have full hope for one more day, that my life will be full of life in one more day. Why? Because the truth of God, because the promise of God, and because the mercy of God, I experienced the last 70 of all my life. So now as you sit down, study, plan for the future, plan for your career, plan for your marriage, plan your love. Some of you don't even have a loved one sitting there, so lonely. That's okay. But if you start with this one, you can see that God says, let me come along with you. Could you open up with me? Do you know that I stand next to you? Let me think with you about your future. And here, this is my plan. Can you take it? Can you go back to scripture and take it? What did he do? Oh, Christ accept you already. Secondly, Christ work out the way for you. And now, for you and I, to stand here and look in the future, verse 13 is not happened yet. But verse 13 talking of God come near to you and me and talk to you, proposing you the way to live it. So what the scripture teaches us is, now, the presence of God is next to you. Don't ignore it. Be sensitive that He comes next to you and me. Next to your marriage, next to your love, next to your family, next to your community, next to your church. Let me think of with you about your future. Don't plan by yourself. I already did things for you. I'm going to completion. Think the thought of God. Not merely think a human thought. That's a great privilege. How? By the working of the Holy Spirit within us. Who will hope? It would be marvelous. If I would die soon, it would be marvelous for me to come back here about 20 years from now and go through this. I will ask, what happened to Andre? Oh, Andre, yeah, no. What happened to all of you? I can tell you, if you follow this one, you will make history. This church will make history. Because the church is full of hope. You and I are the people called for hope. If you and I walk around depressed, no hope, that's not good. The evidence that God is working on us is the joy and the peace, the hopefulness God gives us. Let's pray. Lord God, we are before you and then we listen to your word. It's very strange to us to understand these things, so lofty, but so practical. It seems that you know, you understand our lives. You understand our heart. You understand our mind. You understand our pain. And you come along and you talk to us this way. We thank you for the way that Christ accepts us and work the way for us. And now as we stand together, looking in the future, Lord God, God of hope, come down to us, near to us, and share life with us, and sing the way through with us, Lord God. It's humbling me, and humbling my brother and sister here this morning as we praise and worship you. Oh God, make us the kind of people of hope. People established in you, and who trust you, and understand the working of His Holy Spirit in our lives. So be with us as we open our heart to you. In Jesus' name we pray.